Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
One tight end move. There's the snap and the pitch out. Goes to Wilson up the middle of the 30. Broke a tackle on the 25, 20, 15, 10, 5 on the numbers. Into the end zone. They chase him in there for a touchdown. Jeff Wilson, the running back for San Francisco, has just bolted downfield 32 yards to put the Niners on top late in the first quarter against the defending Super Bowl champions. Shotgun snap from their own 43. Left tackle block and a leaping catch made on a quick throw at the 50 by Samuel. Broke a tackle 45. Breaks him at the tackle 40. He's on the hash mark the 30. He's being chased as he comes to the near side 25. Broke a tackle at the 20. Sideline 10. 5. Touchdown! What a run after the catch! Deebo Samuel!
You almost know Debo's going to have one or two of those in the game. You know, you don't want to bank on it, but you almost can. No, it wasn't so much about rhythm. I thought it was third down really put us in a good spot compared to last week. Just when you're successful like that, it allows the run game to get going and just allows you to open up the playbook a little more.
He gets the shotgun snap. He's got time. He throws a pass. It's picked off. Hufanga at the 50. Sideline 40. Foot race 30. Sideline 20. 10. 5. Touchdown. It's a pick six of Stafford. San Francisco has scored.
One of those games we knew it was going to be a battle. We weren't good enough. You know, myself, and you know, first and foremost in the red zone, had some opportunities to put some points up and didn't get touchdowns there. And that's, you know, probably the difference in the game. You know, there were some plays that we can execute better, whether it's throwing and catching or just assignment wise. So a lot to clean up. Proud of the way we fought. Give them a lot of credit. It's a good football team, but like you said, one possession game. You know, we make a critical error there, and they capitalize on it, and that was that.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol for this Tuesday, October 4th, 2022. I am Nate Buchady. Stephen St. John is battling a myriad of issues right now. He's under the weather, so he is not going to be with us again today. Our best wishes to Stephen. Hope he starts feeling better soon. We have a busy show today. Lance Leipold, head coach at Kansas, and the hottest name in the coaching carousel, dare I say, will join us coming up at 6:30 today, and I will beg him to stay at Kansas.
Is that why you drove the Brinks truck today?
Oh, man, I wish I had one. Drive it right up there to Lawrence and park in front of his house and say, please stay. And I'd stand in front of his house like John Cusack and say anything with the boombox over my head, and I would play some sort of Peter Gabriel song. Say, please, coach, don't go. Don't go. You've only been here for a year. We need you. By the way, and I'll give all the details that I have here in a moment. If you are a Kansas fan and you're thinking about going up to Lawrence for college game day, I spent some time on the phone with Jason Booker of Kansas Athletics last night just because I was curious about the details because, you know, the old act like you've been there before. Well, you have. They haven't been here before. They've had, you know, Kansas Athletics has had the pleasure of working out the logistics of hosting late night. I'm sorry, of a game day at Allen Fieldhouse, but not game day at Memorial Stadium. And it was interesting talking to Booker about they're having a site visit today at 1 o'clock with ESPN to try to exactly figure out, okay, where they're going to put the set on the hill, which is such a cool setting. It's an opportunity for Kansas to advertise this really cool setting and kind of unique setting that they have for college football with the beautiful hill and, you know, Campanile on top of the hill and all that stuff. But where do you put it? You know, over the years, they've turned that hill area into an area where they put big tents, and, you know, for different alumni association parties and sponsor parties and things like that. They're hoping to have thousands and thousands of people there on the hill. They're hoping to give College Game Day the best experience they've ever had. And that might sound crazy when you think about all the tradition-rich places that College Game Day has gone, but it might not sound crazy when you think about the way people from Kansas City and Kansas and Missouri turn out for things when they know the nation is watching, right? This is the type of thing in this town when we know that the rest of the country is actually paying attention to us, which is not that often, right? Most of the time, we're an afterthought, just like that mayor from New York. You know, we don't have a brand. When they are watching, you might say that that might be our biggest brand, is our sense of local pride, our civic pride, our state U pride, all that. My guess is there's going to be a massive crowd in Lawrence with students and maybe even families, all that. They're starting the activation, the ESPN has a bunch of sponsor activation and activities for kids and all those types of things starting at 6 o'clock in the morning. Home Depot has a sign center there where you can go, you know, because you always see the signs at the game, you know, at game day and all that stuff, creative stuff. They have a sign making station there with all the supplies you need and all that stuff. They're trying to figure out where exactly on the hill they're going to put the set and have the crowd to make for the best camera shots, but also not get in the way necessarily of the players that are coming out of the Anderson football facility and going into the stadium and all that. So I'll keep passing along the details that I know of that, but basically they're encouraging people to get there as early as possible. I mean, I think they're going to officially kind of open up the area at 6. College game day goes from 8 to 10 from on the hill. Then they'll do the rest of game day from inside the stadium because they don't really, like an hour before kickoff, they don't want that all going on out on the hill where everybody's trying to get to their different tents to have their pregame parties and getting inside the stadium and all that. So those are the biggest details I have for you there. We'll talk to Lance Leipold at 6:30 about everything. 5-0 Jayhawks, the game itself against Iowa State, and more. 7:30, we'll talk with Joe Valerio, one of our NFL insiders, I guess you could say, former chief and a Philadelphia resident. So we can talk with him about the only undefeated they're the only undefeated team left in the NFL, right? The Philadelphia Eagles. At 7:50, we'll get a forecast from Gary Lezak. There's a change in the weather coming. If you like, I love all of fall, personally. I love, like, the start of September all the way through Christmas. This is the best window of the year. I love early fall,
yes,
and I love late fall. But these early fall days and evenings where the temperature gets up into the 80s during the day, like just enough to get a sweat going if you decide to go outside, do something. And then in the evenings, it cools off to where it's just gorgeous outside. I was coaching the Glowing Dragons last night in practice, and it was absolutely beautiful night. I love those late September, early October nights in Kansas City. But it's about to change. It's about to dip about 20 degrees coming up later this week. So we'll hear all the details from Gary Lezak on that. Mark Boerichter will join us at 8 o'clock in studio to talk NFL and maybe some college football as well. And then we'll talk with Jeff Chedia, our NFL insider as well, as his Detroit Lions played in a shootout. They got me a lot of fantasy football points, by the way, over the weekend. The Kansas City Chiefs have the second highest scoring offense in the NFL through 4 weeks in the season. We've been talking about, is this offense going to be as good, you know, in the post-Tyreek Hill era? They have the second highest scoring offense in the NFL. Do you know who has the first highest scoring offense in the NFL?
Who'd you say the second is?
The Chiefs are the second.
It's got to be, I think I saw this somewhere, the Lions?
You got it. The Lions have the, and when it comes to yards, the Lions are first. Let's see, when it comes to points, the Lions are first. The Detroit Lions. Anybody have that? What kind of odds would you have gotten for that on DraftKings?
Gosh, for leaning stats, I don't know, but my over 6.5 wins for Detroit is not looking too good right now. But
yeah,
if you would have told me that Jared Goff was playing better football than Matthew Stafford at the start, was going to be playing better football than Matthew Stafford at the start of the season, I would have thought you were crazy.
Well, the Eagles and Lions played to a 38-35 game in week one. Then the Lions beat the Commanders 36-27. Then they lost to the Vikings 28-24. And then they just lost to the Seahawks 48-45. How about that barn burner, Geno Smith? How much could you have gotten for Geno Smith having a better statistical season than Russell Wilson through the first four games of the year? Who had that?
Nobody. Nobody would have had that one.
If you were to look at the Dallas Cowboys, who are 3-1, and realize that they are 0-1 with Dak Prescott as their starter, and 3-0 with Cooper Rush as their starter, who would have had that?
Nobody.
And then, of course, last night, Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers get a win. Jimmy Garoppolo, who the 49ers tried all offseason to trade for a ham sandwich, and they couldn't get somebody to give him a ham sandwich for Jimmy Garoppolo. Not at that contract. We're not paying him. We can't do that, huh? Remember, he overthrew somebody in the Super Bowl. He did. He had an open guy. Could have won the Super Bowl against the Chiefs, but he overthrew him. So nobody wants him. And he goes out and beats the defending Super Bowl champs. And as you said, those Rams, did they get old? Is that what happened? Did they the opposite of what the Patriots had done forever, right? The Patriots, if you're over 30 and you're making a lot of money, we don't want you. They did the let's bring in every high priced veteran we could think of and go for this Super Bowl. And they did, and they won. And are we seeing the other shoe drop now? I don't know. We're going to get to watch them play in prime time a lot, aren't we?
Yeah. For the next four games, I believe. They're Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night. I think they're a Christmas game, too. There was a tweet earlier. Joshua Briscoe had put it out there. He says, oh, no, it gets worse. Thursday night football, Rams, Raiders. Monday night football, Packers, Rams. Sunday night football, Broncos, Rams. And then New Year's Day, Sunday night football. So Rams and Chargers. So December, all month of December is going to be a lot of primetime Rams. So you hope that you hope that they get some oil in that that rusty, I don't know, team. They just look bad. They look slow and, like you said, old. It's showing.
Cooper Kupp's still doing his thing. I mean, he had a heck of a game. Deebo Samuel was great. The 49ers and Rams are the entire NFC West is 2-2. That's always been a very tough division the last few years, but everybody is 2-2 in the NFC West right now. All right, we are off and running on the Border Patrol. Coming up, we got a lot of football headed your way. It's October 4th, and it's the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Here I am standing in front of Lance Leipold's house. Somebody loaned me a Brinks truck. Look. Yeah, part of the key to happiness in life might be recognizing the beauty around you. Recognizing the wonderful things that you have in your presence, right? If you're a Kansas fan, Lance Leipold is one of those things. It's not hard. You don't really have to tell people. You don't have to tell a Kansas football fan to appreciate Lance Leipold. Like, hey, by the way, you know, guys like this don't just come around every year. Kansas fans are painfully aware, right? Kansas fans are painfully aware that their team doesn't go 5-0 very often. It's been since 2009. And I would say Chiefs fans are still keenly aware of how wonderful it is to have Patrick Mahomes as your starting quarterback, right? I don't think we've gotten desensitized to it around here. But at first, you know, when he went out and won the Super Bowl after 50 years of this team not even making it to the Super Bowl and this team not having a franchise quarterback, particularly not one that had been drafted by the organization, they had some good quarterbacks. Look, you know, Trent Green was a good quarterback. Alex Smith was a good quarterback, but they didn't have the franchise quarterback that they had drafted and was going to be here for an entire era. And so I think Chiefs fans, we all recognized immediately and appreciated immediately, we got one now. We got one now. And then he turned out to be even better than what we could have thought or hoped he could be. But then he keeps doing things that are incredible. And you see everybody, even in the national media, not everybody, a lot of people that keep lining up and looking for reasons for him to fail. Or not be as great. But there are people in the national media who continue to appreciate him as well. Here was which NFL, is NFL Live crew? This is NFL Live crew, just to give you some outside perspective, because we always play the comments when people want to tear him down and all that stuff. But here's what they were saying about Patrick Mahomes yesterday on NFL Live.
We got to stop LeBron James and Pat Mahomes. Like, I know it's popular to talk about all other quarterbacks in the league just as far as playing the position. I still think Lamar is the most dynamic guy at the position when it comes to the entire package. But when it comes to playing quarterback, we got to stop doing him like we do LeBron James.
Taking him for
granted. We keep trying to find somebody that's better.
Yeah.
We want to anoint somebody that
–
Pat Mahomes is that dude, bro.
Well, I think
I
think last night's game is one of those games that remind us why we had the conversation 2 years ago. Is he the best we've ever seen? Is he the most talented we've ever seen? In many ways, it's like watching Steph Curry. You know, the game moves at such a crazy speed for everyone but them.
Yeah.
They move so slow, you know. And I said this morning, plays like this, because he has zero fear of making a mistake, I have to kind of change that. There's zero fear of mistake even being an option for Patrick in these moments. He only sees it as there is a play there to be made, and I have so much confidence that I can go make that play. And Marcus, you're right. Like, last night was one of those moments where we have to be reminded, don't get bored watching greatness.
Yeah.
You know, because we're critical of him when he doesn't do it well. I remember last year being very critical of him. And last night, we do have to remind ourselves and everybody, this guy is once in a lifetime. And it's such a joy and an honor for us to get to go watch him play, because he does stuff where we go,
no doubt.
What was that? How?
Yeah. Like, sometimes it's one of those, I don't want to cut you off, it's one of those moments where I was like, I was in that league.
Right. And I wasn't even close to that. I'm telling you. I feel the same way. It's players that come along every once in a while. And I know, like, all of these, the Josh Allens, the Justin Herbert, rightfully so, we talk about how incredible they are. But I think sometimes Pat get lost in that because we saw it so early. Yeah. And what he accomplished. We just got to be reminded every once in a while.
A freaking men. That was Marcus Spears, right? Thank you, Marcus Spears. I love that. We got to quit LeBron Jamesing Patrick Mahomes. Now, hey, one thing he doesn't have in common with LeBron James is he hasn't been job hopping, right? He won the Super Bowl here right away. Now, it's not fair to say that LeBron James either, because LeBron James didn't get drafted into an organization that had a head coach like Andy Reid and a supporting cast with other Hall of Famers around him. And Patrick Mahomes has some Hall of Famers around him. Travis Kelce, a no doubt Hall of Famer. No doubt. You know, there was a really good football team here for him to step into, which was great. So he doesn't have to. You know, he doesn't feel like he's got to leave here to go somewhere else to win a Super Bowl, which is great for us. But I love that comment, because that's exactly right. We, and especially I think in today's society, we grow fatigued by things. People get LeBron fatigue, so they want somebody else to be the greatest. And he's not the greatest anymore. I mean, he's an older guy, LeBron. But for the longest time, he was by far the best player in the NFL or in the NBA, and wasn't even close. And he wasn't winning MVPs. They were, you know, giving MVPs to other guys and all that. And now it's, oh, you know, Josh Allen, best quarterback. Come on. And the thing is, to go to Dan Orlovsky's point, I remember playing high school basketball against Earl Watson, who played in the NBA for 15 years. And I couldn't get the ball across half court against him, you know. And you realize when you're on the floor with somebody that's at that level, how big the gap is between thinking, I'm a decent player, I play high school basketball, you know, I play with a lot of these guys, to I don't belong on a court with this man. I don't belong on the same court with him. And to hear, like, guys that played in the NFL feel that way about Patrick Mahomes. Like, you're at the highest level. There isn't another level you can go play at. All of the greatest football players in the world are in this league, and Patrick Mahomes makes it look like he is completely separated from them. And that play, everybody talks about that play, and that play is a perfect example. And the thing is, there are guys in sports who make plays like that, and you marvel at their athleticism, spatial awareness, all those things. But they don't necessarily do all the other stuff through the entire course of every game, every week, to be champions and be winners, right? Like, Tom Brady doesn't do any of those things. There's not very often that you see Tom Brady make a play where everybody goes, man, there's only one guy on the planet that could have done that. But he just makes all the plays that win, right? The thing about Patrick Mahomes is he kind of does both. He does all these things that just jump out at you and go, well, how many people in the world can do that? But he also converts the boring third down. You know, he connects the passes to move the ball all the way down the field to get it to the goal line in the first place. He makes the plays when they need to be made. He is a winner. It's crazy. We got him here. And it's just fun. It's fun to hear every once in a while people actually recognize that that's exactly what they're doing. Anytime somebody tries to say that there's a better quarterback in the NFL right now than Patrick Mahomes, that's what they're doing. They're just trying to find a reason. They're LeBron Jamesing him. That's what's happening. And you know what? We ought to all take it as a compliment. It is because he's been so good for such an extended period of time that people are trying to find a reason to pick somebody else. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Lance Leipold, coach of the Kansas Jayhawks, will join us right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Van a ir por el gol de campo. Van a ir por el gol del campo. Lo repito. Van. ¡No cae! ¡No cae! ¡No cae el gol de campo! ¡Kansas sale con la victoria! 14-11. ¡Ahí está, señoras y señores! 5-0. 5-0 por la primera vez de 13 años. Los Kansas Jayhawks están 5-0.
That was KC Tico Sports with the Spanish language broadcast of the third and final missed field goal of Iowa State as Kansas got the win over the Cyclones to move to 5-0 on the season. Joining us now is the head coach of the Kansas football program for his weekly conversation with us, Lance Leipold. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, Nate. That sounded pretty exciting. I just wish I would have paid a little more attention in Spanish 1 about 30, 40, whatever it was years ago. So I probably would have enjoyed it more.
I'm a big soccer guy, so I end up listening to a lot of games in Spanish. And I think about, like, the play-by-play, that the styles of play-by-play that you hear from people. And there's a flair to the Spanish language broadcast that I don't think we've captured in English yet, and I think it's something we need to keep working on. That's for sure.
I would agree.
Yeah. I wonder, like, I think to myself sometimes, is anybody, like, in Mexico or anywhere playing English language play-by-play because they think it sounds so great? And I don't think so. I think they're listening to their own play-by-play because it's better than ours. Hey, Coach, look, congratulations, first of all, on this incredible start. I was reading the article that pointed out that this is the seventh time, I believe, in your career that you've had a football team get off to a 5-0 start. And I saw that you said that this one feels a little different because of where this Kansas program has been. I'm wondering if there's any common threads to a 5-0 start, if there's anything that when you look back on them, say, yeah, this is like a fundamental element to all the teams, all the different teams I've had that have gotten off to such a good start in their seasons.
Well, I think it's the daily approach that I think is, has been real impressive with this group. I can't really say through all the years of all the direct connecting of the dots of the start, because there's been some good teams that you go against some, high quality opponents early in the year, whether it be in the MAC and you play Power 5 schools and whatnot. But I really like the way this team has embraced and handled success, and that they've understood that each and every week, of course, is new, and that they have to take the field, especially early in the week, with the mindset that we have a lot to do and a lot to get better at. And again, those are things that we talked about a year ago when we were struggling, is that expectations and daily things are not going to be predicated by the scoreboard or the standings. It was going to still be the daily process of going through things and a standard that we would hold ourselves to.
And this win was so different than the first four games this year, when your offense was clicking like crazy and your defense kind of made enough plays to help win the game. This time around, the offense didn't click, particularly in the second half, but your defense just kept, holding Iowa State from scoring. And obviously the missed kicks helped as well. But I'm curious how you process that one, considering how different it was from the way that you won your first four games.
Yeah, it was definitely different. And we know in today's college football world, it's high-octane offenses and exciting plays and trying to light up the scoreboard as much as possible. But, it's a different way. It was probably a little uglier than maybe, all the others. But at the same time, I think it's one that can be very beneficial for our program, confidence-wise, for our defense. And we found a way to win it, defensively and in special teams. So I think it's one that can really, propel our program to continue to take the steps necessary to be the most complete team we can be.
And I'm curious, when you're managing a game, obviously, like, there have been some close games here in this 5-0 start, and you've been able to manage those games to victories, which is the whole point. Do you get a sense at some point during the game, hey, we're going to have to win this one differently than we won the first few games? And if so, how does that manifest itself as a coach, and does it affect your decision-making as the game goes on in terms of the style of game that it is?
Yeah, I probably was a little more conservative than I had been as in the decisions I make during the game, predicated on really, give Iowa State credit for, again, we knew they'd have an excellent defense. We knew it would be a little bit more uphill in some ways. And so because of that, I think there was probably some midfield type fourth down calls that we played more field position than we did maybe in the past of aggressiveness. And for that, we felt that they would have to drive the field themselves on us and to be successful. So I do think so. Is when you feel like a lot's working on your play call sheet, you can continue to stay aggressive because you got confidence in a lot of different things. I don't know if we ever fully got ourselves much past the first quarter or so in that type of rhythm to make all that happen.
We're visiting with Lance Leipold, and so now your team is 5-0, and College Game Day is coming to Lawrence, Kansas for the first time ever, Coach. This stuff kind of happens fast. I mean, this is your team's ranked in the top 25 now, and all of a sudden all of this attention is coming to your program. You mentioned earlier the way your kids have handled success so far. I'm just curious what your reaction is. Everything that you've gone through in your career to know that your team is going to be hosting College Game Day on Saturday.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. It's exciting for the program, as you said, what it's been through. It's exciting for our athletic department, university, and community, and hopefully statewide and across the border. But I made sure one thing, though, Nate, that we were not going to compromise our 6:30 Tuesday time slot for anybody nationally that wanted to try to call, okay? So I wanted to...
Thank you, my friend.
There's more people wanting to talk. There's distractions. There's things like that. But when you really get down to it, it's still going to be a Tuesday practice for us here in an hour and a half. And we're going to approach it that way. And I think we've got to keep a good mindset as things start rolling in on Thursday that we've earned this opportunity. But to continue to get them, we've got to stay focused and find a way to play well against a very explosive and well-playing TCU football team.
How much is added to your plate even planning out logistics of how you're going to schedule who's going to do what interviews and all of that when something like this comes about?
Well, the benefits, of course, of being – a Big 12 school at the Power 5 level, we have a great communication staff and other people that handle most of these requests. And then, they already were in here about 6 a.m. giving me the, okay, here's some things we need to run by you, whether it be player-wise or myself and how it fits and requests that it might be. And then we try to make it all work. And it started on Sunday there's some extra hours in the day to already long days, but we're going to find a way to do our best for everyone, to take advantage of this moment for our program and its future, recruiting, all the things that go with it. And, of course, our current players to have a chance to be in this spotlight, because you can come to the University of Kansas, play football, and have an opportunity to be on the highest stage and in front of millions of people.
Do you ever get to watch College Game Day? Like if your team plays like a 6 o'clock game on a Saturday or anything, are you on game day so locked into your stuff that you never even get a chance to watch it, even if you play at night?
No, there's times you catch part of it. Our schedules, we try to schedule our mornings during a Saturday night game where, we're gonna have breakfast and then there might be a shorter meeting. We try to break it up. We don't let them sleep in all morning, and we don't let it like eat breakfast and then go. We try to break up. So there's I'd say slices of it, but to kind of watch and sometimes catch part of the game. But yeah, so we will. But as I say, when you come in from you know, the hotel and things like that. You know, as far as these type of days and these early kickoffs, you know, that'll be something that we'll have to see more recorded after a while, after it's said done.
Yeah, I just didn't know, like, on like in years past, you know, when you're coaching, if it's like one of those things where, I'll check it out on the TV when I'm in my hotel room, or if you ever even get a chance to watch the show.
Yeah, we do, and it's amazing. You know, even from last week, you know, both ESPN and Fox were in to do stories, and it's amazing how many of our colleagues and others that also at other schools are playing that catch those things, and we know what those do for programs, and what a great job that as we know how much television plays a part in what we're able to do in our programs and resources. So yeah, it's a big deal, and for the first time, it happening here, as we know, is something that our players should be proud of, and we should embrace as much as we can. And finding that balance to make sure that we're ready still to play and play our best will be important. And it's ultimately my responsibility to make sure we're in that mindset.
How many Kansas fans have come up to you to beg you to stay?
I don't know. You know, it's probably it's been nice. You know, again, staying, you know, focused on what we're doing, and again, we're extremely happy here. We plan to be here a long time, so you know, I think they're more. Hopefully, we're more focused, and they're focused more about TCU than anything else that may be out there and people talking about.
You know, and in all seriousness, Coach, obviously, every KU fan I know is texting me, you know, this weekend, they're because they want you to stay. They're obviously worried about that. And I know that that's not if coaches had their way, you'd be able to just deal with coaching and all that other stuff and rumors and conversations about contracts and everything could be put off till the off season. But that's not really the way it works. I mean, I got to imagine KU's already putting another contract in front of you. And I just wonder from you seem like a guy who just does such a great job of what you've been preaching about, you know, staying focused on the task at hand. How do you handle that? Like, how do you manage all the stuff that's happening that's really kind of beyond your control when it comes to the coaching stuff, but it's in front of you right now while you're trying to manage this team through your busy week of getting ready for games?
Well, honestly, there's parts of it, even like this weekend, some things that have happened, I wasn't even aware because of everything else that was happening between College Game Day coming and getting ready and watching TCU staff meetings on Sunday. We're kind of bunkered down, and it's not like you're sitting there scrolling through social media to you know, listen to what, you know, rumors and innuendos or any of these other things. You just don't have time, and people say that it's amazing what you don't know what's going on sometimes even in the world. And honestly, that's why in my office, I try to make sure I have something local on for weather and other things and try to catch a little bit of something that's going, so you try to stay kind of in tune to it. But the other stuff, you don't really have time. And you have 120 players and something's always kind of going on, maybe in their personal lives and other things. And there's other things that we're focused on changing here that you can't get caught up in that stuff too long. And lastly, and most importantly, is I've learned a long time is that if you don't stay moving forward on what's hand, everything that you've been working for gets taken away pretty quickly. And that's maybe I've learned at the Division III level when we had five games in the playoffs, is that you just kind of keep going and going, and you get in this routine of what your Sundays and Mondays are like, that you kind of got your head down and you're going.
So you've got this next game, and boy, is it a good one. TCU 4-0. They put up 668 yards of offense against the, you know, storied Oklahoma program just last weekend. As you look at this weekend's opponent, what impresses you the most about the Horned Frogs?
Yeah, you kind of hit that. Almost 700 yards of offense. I think they had four touchdowns of 60 yards or more. Highly explosive. Really, when you look at on the offensive side, I mean, big and physical and athletic up front. They've probably got a couple future offensive linemen that'll play on Sundays. They got a quarterback who's really playing well now in their system. He's big. He's deceptively fast. He had one of the long touchdown runs. So they're incorporating some quarterback run with it. And then they're pretty diverse and athletic and electric on the outside. So it's going to be our biggest challenge to date by all means, and a team that's gaining confidence as we go. And again, you know, we're going to have to play our best football yet of this year.
Coach, we really appreciate you holding on to this 6:30 time slot on Tuesdays. I look forward to it every week. These ESPN guys can just give, you know, they can stand down. In all seriousness, congratulations on the great start and all the accolades and everything that's coming your way. I'll be the 500th KU fan to ask you to please stay. But in all seriousness, you know, good luck on Saturday, and thanks again for the time.
Well, appreciate it, and we appreciate the opportunity to do this weekly, and we're not going anywhere on that either, okay? And you and your listeners have a great week.
Hey, somebody said this the other day. You finished the interview with Rock Chalk the last several weeks. We got to keep that going, don't we?
We definitely do, Nate. Have a great week. Rock Chalk.
There we go. That was it. Somebody got really nervous last week because he didn't finish with a Rock Chalk, and I, you know, that's important, I think. You know, you got to keep the mojo going. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
This is number one champion sound. Yeah, Estelle, we about to get down. Who the hottest in the world right now? Just touched down in London town. Bet they give me a pound. Tell them put the money in my hand right now. Set up a motor, we need more seats. We just sold out all the floor seats.
Take me on a trip, I'd like to go someday. Take me to New York, I'd love to see LA. I really want to come pick you with you.
All right, great to hear from Lance Leipold. Did I sound a little too pathetic there? Please stay, Coach. Don't leave us.
You made your feelings very known, which is good.
I just feel like I speak for every Kansas football fan out there. I know as soon as that Wisconsin job thing happened, I mean, my phone started blowing up. I was in the middle of calling the Sporting KC game. And I looked down at about 50 text messages from people going, "He's not going to Wisconsin, is he?" I'm like, look, I don't know. It's his home state. I mean, what do you want me to say? It's a great problem to have. Nobody's wanted to hire the last four coaches that KU's had, right? So that, you know, which would you rather have? You want the guy that everybody's interested in? Ask Iowa State fans, right? Matt Campbell's name comes up all the time. He's decided to stay there. We'll see if Lance Leipold does the same thing. I guarantee you this, Travis Goff is already working on a new contract. I haven't talked to Travis Goff. I just guarantee it. They just gave him an extension. I guarantee they're working on another one, because look, and the guy's only been there for a year, but all you have to do is look and see what's happening on the field, and you know, okay, we haven't had a guy like this in a while. Real quick, the details that I do have for you on College Game Day, if you're worried or thinking about going up there, they want to make this the best College Game Day that ESPN's ever had. That's the goal. And considering all the tradition-rich football places where College Game Day's been, that's a tall task. But I think there's also a thing about expectations. You know that the College Game Day crew is not sure what to expect because they're going to Kansas. I'm guessing a lot of people are going to show up. The event basically is going to start opening up at 6 a.m. They're going to have ESPN activation there with all their sponsor stuff and activities. Home Depot is going to have a sign-making thing, and then the show will be on the Hill from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. So get there early if you are a Kansas fan and you want to go. We've got Jamie Bluma in studio. We'll talk Royals baseball and history with Bobby Witt Jr., by the way, all coming up on Sports Radio 810 WHB.